Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We used to know him as Cavs beat reporter Jason Lloyd, but he is so much more than that now, Dustin Fox.
He does it all.
He is the most important man in the world,
although he can't return a text.
Whoa!
Jason,
what's that all about, Jason?
Yeah, I got to talk to you, Dustin. Sorry about that.
All good. It's fine. It's all good. I see where I'm at in the totem pole.
I mean, he's covering the Indians. He's covering the Browns. I don't know where he's where is Carmen Sandiego? It's like, where is Jason Lloyd? Where is he today? Well, who's he covering? He's going to be at the Buckeyes game. I don't know where the hell he's going to be. Except he's not going to cover the Cavs, because who cares about the Cavs right now?
I'll still be on the Cavs.
I'm kidding.
Last week was crazy. I was in Houston for 1-2. I flew home at 5 a.m. to get to the Browns for Sunday, and then Indians yesterday, and was planning on going back to Houston this week, which obviously we don't have to do anymore. It's been fun. I like the new role. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you did a great job with it was a really good article today about, you know, what happened here with the Indians. And I want to read a quote from the article, which I found fascinating. And it sounded to me like a little bit of excuse making. And I want to know what you think of that. Mike Clevenger in the article, final thoughts, the solutions to the Indians' problems. A problem might have been in front of them all along. In it, you put a quote from Clevenger where it says, I'm going to keep it really short. We were a little bit, I don't know, kind of had our backs against the wall before this started when it came to the analytical side. I know Rob Nyer said today, and I know Eno Saris has done some work on this as well, and said that the Indians have basically a quarter of the analytics department that other teams do. And that is a disadvantage, certainly. But does this come off as an excuse to you, Jason? Because it was a fascinating quote.
Well, I think there's a lot of frustration in the clubhouse, obviously, for being swept, number one.
Yeah.
You know, these guys put in the work all year long to get to the same point as they did last year and lose in an even worse fashion than what they did last year. So, you know, you guys start there, that there's obviously a lot of frustration. The fact that, you know, Clevenger said it on the record, and there was others who were kind of saying the same thing off the record, that's where you start to say, okay, what's going on here? And, you know, I got to say, TJ Zuppe, my colleague and someone you guys know well, was paramount in helping me kind of piece this together and pointing me in the right direction throughout this whole postseason. TJ's so brilliant with the baseball mind and in some of the ways that he goes. So, you know, he kind of showed me, okay, well, you know, go listen to this and go listen to that. And then when I just digested everything, this is where we got to. And, you know, I'll say that, you know, I got some information today from someone else who works in a front office in Major League Baseball who felt like basically everybody is chasing the Astros in what we're talking about. But, you know, this person thought that the Indians were probably top 10 on what we're talking about here. The Indians were probably top 10 in baseball, maybe the top 5. But no, they are not on Houston's level. And just how overwhelming the Astros were in every aspect of the series was astonishing to me. They really dominated them. It really wasn't close. And you know, yes, it got out of hand a little bit because I think they broke the spirit of the Indians. But still, it's just they were so dominant in so many areas. When you get into a short series like this, you know, this is where things like this matter. You know, I had a player telling me in the clubhouse yesterday that, you know, the Astros reports are so intricate of, you know, 85% of the time pitcher X is going to throw a pitch in this location when the count is this, and you want to hit it on the top side of the ball, like stuff like that, just very intricate. And, you know, when you take a step back and you look at what George Springer has done these last couple of postseasons, and when you look, you know, Trevor Bauer, I wrote in there that Trevor Bauer used the camera, the Edutronic camera, to help develop the slider. And I know that there's a lot going on with the Astros and what do they put on the ball. They use some sort of substance. But when you look at what they've done with Charlie Morton and Garrett Cole and the way they revitalized Justin Verlander, you know, how much of that is the science that we're talking about? So, you know, I don't want to come off as the Indians are in the dark ages. I don't want to do that because I you know, I said in the article, I think they're the best run team in town, and it's
no doubt
close. I've said that for years. And they've got really intelligent people running this team. And so I'm sure that they are doing all of this stuff. I just think that the Astros are ahead of them.
Yeah, and that's probably has less to do with the specific guys in the Indians front office and just that the Astros are probably spending a lot more money to have more of a staff in the analytics department. I think it's hilarious, Jason, that the Indians are frustrated by a lack of analytics, and Hugh Jackson laughs when he asks if he uses analytics. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Unreal.
It's different sports. Something else I want to make clear. As you know, I was covering the NBA Finals 4 months ago, so I enjoy baseball. I think I know a fair amount about it. I think I have a deep understanding of how some things work, but I am by no means an expert on the Indians franchise and the Browns franchise yet. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to know them as intimately as I know the Browns. Or I'm sorry, as I know the Cavs. But it's going to take time. I would expect that to happen. And I don't want to come off today like I'm some sort of expert on how they do things, because I'm not. But I just know what I know from talking to people over the course of the last couple of weeks about some of the stuff and, you know, what we've learned over some of the other interviews. I still think there's a place in the NFL for some of this stuff. I don't know that we have reached the point where it is quite as critical as it is to some of these other sports. I just don't know. But I do think that there is still a place for it. And I think the Browns still have it. You know, I absolutely think that they're still using some of this stuff, or they still have some of the stuff at their disposal.
They just use different terminology. I mean, tendencies are used by coaches all the time. They just don't look at it as something that is, quote-unquote analytics.
Well, that's just stupid then to laugh about.
I mean, don't think the teams are looking at what defenses or what offenses run on third and seven?
Right. It's all about plus trends.
Exactly. There's always analytics involved in this stuff. It's just stupid to scoff at it and act like it's not something that they use. But anyway, football side, Jason, just back to this. You know, I do you get the sense that the team almost like gave up before the series began? Like they looked at those guys and said, they're just too good. We're not there.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that at all. I think that they really felt like they could compete going into this thing. I wrote this the other day that it became pretty clear after game two that the Astros were the better team. But that doesn't mean the Indians can't win. The Indians, I thought the Indians were the better team last year.
And
they lost to the Yankees.
Yeah.
So that doesn't matter so much if you're the better team or not. And I think that everyone midway through that series would acknowledge that the Astros were the better team. But I don't think that they gave up or they didn't think they could win until probably about when it got away from the sixth inning yesterday or so, I think is when it really kind of turned ugly. I give the Astros a ton of credit, man, for the way that they've built that organization and they're so far out in front on so many things. It was actually kind of reassuring to me to hear today, you know, the Indians know they're not on the Astros level, but they're probably in the top 10, maybe the top five of this. So it's not like, again, I don't want to make it sound like they're the Orioles or the Tigers and stuck in the dark ages, because they're not. I just think that there's a gap between where they are and where the Astros are, and I think the players yesterday probably had some frustration because they felt like they weren't quite as prepared maybe as the other side was with some of that stuff we're talking about. And I'm sure, you know, when you're going up against all the talent that they have, it makes it more frustrating when you don't feel like you have all the information maybe you could have had.
We're talking with Jason Lloyd from The Athletic. Jason, did you, you know, it's a huge offseason for the Indians front office because, you know, after they got to the World Series, I think there was patience going into 2017. And even going into this year, even though they had a disappointing end to the season, I still think there was patience. And the Indians front office didn't do much. Listen, great front office. But and you can only spend what the owner allows you to spend. But they've raised it up. They didn't do much this past offseason. They didn't think they need to. This idea, but this offseason is huge because there's work that needs to be done. The bullpen has to be rebuilt. The outfield has to be rebuilt. They have some payroll coming off, some going up. Obviously, Lindor is going to get a big raise. Bauer is going to get a big raise. Being around the team the last couple of weeks, do you get the sense that the Indians are going to spend some money this offseason, or too early to say?
I don't think I'm in position to say
that
with any sort of authority, but you know, I think history will indicate where their payroll is going to be. I don't think they're suddenly going to be a top 10 spending team in baseball, especially when you consider, you know, Lindor going to arbitration and the raise that he's got coming his way. I don't know, man. It's tough. That's why, you know, 16, I think 2016 hurts more and more the farther you get away from it when you realize how close they were and what they could have accomplished, because their window is by no means closed. When you have this core, when you have the talent that they have on this team, and you play in this division, their window is not closed. We just said you don't always have to be the best team to win the series.
Right.
And we saw that in 16. But I think without question, there are more questions entering this offseason than there were last year or even the year before.
Is the criticism of Francona warranted?
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm still a Terry guy. I still think,
too.
And Terry was very transparent with this. When we were in his, when we were at the stadium before the series began, he kind of laughed and said, you know, he says, I say this all the time, but there's a really thin line between being smart and being dumb. And, you know, what looked good in 2016 with the way that he used, carried Andrew Miller all the way to the World Series, he said that could have looked a whole lot worse if he gave up a home run the second to last pitch that I had him out there. You know, now everyone wants to kill me for leaving him in there that long. And it's really, I mean, he pushed every right button in 16. There's no doubt about it. But and you can't live off that forever. But at the same time, he's had a lot of things blow up in his face that worked for him in 16 that didn't work now. That's the life of a manager. That doesn't make him a bad manager. It means he got lucky a little bit in 16, and he hasn't been as lucky in 17 and 18. I was a little bit confused with some of the way that he handled some of the relievers. You know, I thought going in, Bauer was their best reliever. If they're going to use him in this role, then they need to use him in the best situations. I didn't think they did that in 1 and 2 in Houston. You know, I thought that it might have been better to get him in the game a little bit earlier. He was always pitching from behind, which, you know, if you look at 16, Andrew Miller never entered the game but went into deficit. So those are little nitpicks, but on the grand scheme of things, I think Terry Francona is one of the best managers in baseball. I wouldn't get rid of him, no.
Jason, I agree. I wouldn't fire him either. I don't think it's unfair to have the conversation. Some people are outraged if you bring it up. I don't think it's unfair. I mean, they're having the conversation in Chicago, too, with Joe Maddon, and he won the World Series. So I don't think either guy should be fired, but I don't think the conversation is unfair when you've now lost 9 of your last 11 playoff games. And I don't think, when you call those things nitpicks, I don't think they're nitpicks. I think they're fair criticisms. I think the way they, as an organization, I don't know if it's Francona specifically or as an organization, have handled the rotation the last 2 years. I think they've done a poor job. I think doing a 3-man rotation last year was a huge mistake. If you felt so desperate about your bullpen that you had to put the guy who was your best starting pitcher in the bullpen in Bauer, then A, you have to use him at the right time, and B, if you have no faith in your bullpen, why pull Carrasco out of the game when he's only thrown 70-something pitches and is pitching pretty well? So I think those are fair criticisms of Francona. And in the same time, I would agree with you. I don't think there's a better option right now. I'm at least bringing him back for one more year minimum.
The most baffling thing to me, really, and I wasn't there. You know, I was obviously across the street, so I can't speak authoritatively to this. But the most surprising thing to me is the Kluber thing. And, you know, when he got hit around after game one, TJ really helped me out, and we did kind of a deep dive on release point and everything else, where Corey had said around the All-Star break that when his knee hurts, that's when his release point drops, because he can't get the drive off the mound. He can't stay as upright and drive off the mound as much as he can when he's healthy. Well, his release point is the lowest it's ever been in his career now. So why is he out there for the second half if he's not healthy? Now, I don't know if he was healthy or not. We'll never know. But it's stuff like that where I scratch my head and go, what's going on here? Why wouldn't you, you know, the division is, they had the division wrapped up at the end of May for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
So why are you running him out there every fifth day if you've got this issue? And if you go back and look, he pitched well in the second half, but who was he facing? He didn't face anybody. So that's the type of thing to me where, you know, if we're going to digest the Indians and go back and look, and if they're going to look internally and say, what do we have to do to get better? Where did we go wrong? I would start there. That sets the tone for the entire series. You know, I just don't know how healthy he is. And it's really unfortunate, because the idea that Corey Kluber can't pitch in big games to me is ridiculous. I will not tolerate that. He is one of the best pitchers in baseball. I just think he's been hurt the last 2 postseasons.
Well, I can't. I think he was hurt last year. Maybe he was hurt this year, Jason. I can't keep giving him a pass. I gave him a pass last year. I can't do it again. It's 4 straight terrible. It's 4 straight terrible starts. Now, do I agree? Do I agree with this narrative that he can't pitch in a big game? That's stupid, because he pitched 5 great games before these 4 terrible games. So in the big picture, even Greg Maddux, maybe the greatest pitcher I've ever seen, had some bad postseason starts. I don't know that he had four in a row. Now, there are reasons for some of them, maybe injury, certainly game seven against the Cubs. He was gassed from because they abused him on 3 days rest. But, yeah, I mean, listen, but everybody's emotional, the fans, us, everybody's emotional after the loss, and then we calm down a little bit later, you know? Jason,
they're still the closest team to a championship right now.
Yeah, they still are.
Baker Mayfield.
The Browns are closing the gap.
Baker Mayfield.
The Browns are closing the gap.
Yeah.
My God, they are. But the end, I still put my money on the Indians winning title first as they're currently constructed.
Baker Mayfield.
Who would have guessed I guess you would, Jason, because you had a good feel for it. But I guess most fans a year and a half ago wouldn't have guessed that the Cavs would be by far the furthest away from a title.
Yeah, I'm the wrong one to ask.
Yeah, right. You knew it.
You think the Cavs will make the playoffs?
No.
Okay. All right.
No.
Mr. Positive.
No.
But even if they do, where are they going?
No, I know.
Yeah.
It's just going to be tough to go from the championship run every year to not making the playoffs.
I don't think they're going to be as awful as they were the first time you left. You know, they lost 26 in a row in 36 or 37. Mm-hmm. I've said many times it was like going to a funeral, the same burying the same body night after night, digging it up and then burying it again. That was the worst experience of my professional career, covering that team. It was awful. I don't think they're going to be that bad, but this is not a playoff team to me. I'd be surprised.
Jason, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
All right, thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.